Good morning. This is Lauren Fulmer with 1330 WREM and 1590 WAIK, and I am here this morning at the Illinois Cancer Care in Galesburg, Illinois, and sitting here this morning with Dr. Francois. How are you doing this morning?
Very well. It's nice to have you over here.
Well, good. I've been here a few times, and I love this facility. It's fairly new, I believe, right around a year. And you know, the staff has always been very welcome, and it's nice to be around. So if you want, just tell us a little bit about Illinois Cancer Care and what you guys are doing here in the area.
So Illinois Cancer Care was founded somewhere around 30 years ago out of Peoria. It was known back then as Oncology Hematology Associates of Central Illinois, or OHACI, and then we changed the name a few years ago. We've been coming to Galesburg almost as long as the original group in Peoria. Dr. Gershner began coming here many, many years ago, and I took over for him about 20 years ago. And then since then, we've incorporated Dr. McLean, Dr. Prager, Dr. Liu, and actually Dr. McLean retired a little bit earlier this year. So we have three physicians who come up here 5 days a week. The practice was begun to take care of the cancer and blood disorder needs of the patients in the Peoria area, and then we have spread to Bloomington, Canton, up around Route 80, Princeton, Ottawa, LaSalle, Peru, and they have been a big presence in Galesburg for, you know, again, almost 30 years.
Yeah, good. It looks like you guys have, really, it is an Illinois cancer care. It's not just specific to our area.
Correct. We probably serve an area that's well over 1 million patients and incorporates a large part of the central Illinois area.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's good. Tell me a little bit, how does someone end up here at the Illinois Cancer Care? Do they just walk in, or is it some referral from a doctor? Or?
So the bulk of patients will be referred from local physicians. So, for example, there may be someone who has anemia, and the primary care may have concerns that they can't fully explain it, and they will ask our opinion and our help in managing the disorder. Could be iron deficiency, could be pernicious anemia, B12 deficiency, could be kidney-related anemia, or it could be anemia related to actually some form of blood cancer, leukemia, acute or chronic, or some other disorder. And then there are a host of surgeons who specialize in certain cancers who will also refer to us following a surgery to help treat colon cancer, lung cancer, breast cancer are some of the more common ones. Also, the urologist, prostate cancer is actually a large number of patients as well.
What have you guys seen as far as cancer becoming more and more prevalent in individuals, or what is the case there?
So they predicted a few years ago that by 2012, the number of cases would rise, I think, somewhere around 30%. And the big issue is that the cancers, as a rule, get somewhat more common as we get older. And the number of people, the boomers, who are entering the age category at which you begin seeing colon cancers, breast cancers, there are more of those people in that age category. And so we are actually, sadly, seeing more patients because there are simply more cases out there.
And what are some steps that people can take as far as being proactive? And obviously the earlier cancer is caught, the better the chance not only of survival, but treating it properly and getting the situation resolved. At what point should someone maybe look into doing some sort of preventative screening or testing, as well as some preventative actions they can take?
So that's a good question. So there was a little discussion not too long ago about some of the things we can do to reduce cancer. So remaining fit. So physical exercise is important. A sedentary lifestyle actually increases the risk of several sorts of cancers. Watching the weight is actually very important because as our weight goes above ideal, we also increase the risk of several sorts of cancers, and those are reversible cancers. Being careful of the sun, that accounts for actually 1 to 2%, you know, melanoma, but, you know, being careful of sunburns, using proper protection. Then there are also the big one, which is tobacco. So still about 1 in 5 people continue to smoke, and smoking is associated with a host of sorts of cancers and is one of the more important things we can do to minimize developing cancer. And then there are other reasonable things. So in an otherwise healthy person with no family history, colonoscopy at the age of 50 and every 10 years to detect colon cancer, because if found early, it's curable. Also, mammography. Now, there's a lot of debate out there about mammograms, when, how many, but you need to have discussion with your primary care about having mammography, certainly no later than the age of 50. And if it runs in the family, then I think we need to talk to the mammographers about initiating that sooner. We also, as a sidebar here, do have genetic counseling with one of our physicians, Dr. Nost, in the main office. And so if there's cancer in the family, he can do a very detailed evaluation to tell you what the risk may be, because if the risk is higher, then there are certainly screening studies that may need to be done on a sooner basis. And also there may be some preventative surgical interventions that that can be considered in certain situations.
So another question I have, you know, being diagnosed with cancer, I assume can be, that's a scary moment in someone's life. Not only just for the patient itself, but is there other services, I mean, even for family, to help the family understand it a little bit better, know how they can help and things like that. So is there any options out there or services that the family can look into to help them become a good resource for their family member?
We do have some social services available, as well as some counseling services available. The diagnosis of cancer is very stressful. At times it can be devastating, depending on the extent of it. It can be likewise as difficult for the spouse, the kids, the mom, the dad. So we do have some services available for counseling to help patients through this. I think the other big asset here is that the staff, and then the nursing staff who works here, for example, if it's an environment that really doesn't fit their personalities, they don't tend to keep working here very long. So the people who are here tend to have been here for quite some time. And I think they're here because there's something about their makeup and their attitude that it fits the situation well. And I think they tend to be very caring sort of people. And so the nurses here are, you know, probably our largest asset, because I think they see the patients, they treat them, they hold their hands, they talk with them, you know, they share stories. And I think that's also a very important asset. The other thing is that when people are being treated, they won't be alone in the room. There'll be other people. And I think I've seen on many occasions where the ability to talk to someone else who's going through the same thing or who maybe have finished the treatment can be very soothing to a patient who's about to enter a treatment and they have no idea exactly what may or may not happen. And I think we sometimes think of the worst. I'm going to lose my hair. I'm going to get sick. I'm going to throw up. But if you can talk to someone who's been through it and says, hey, you know, you're going to do fine. You know, you're going to get through this. And, yeah, you won't feel perfectly, but there's a lot of people who support you. I think that's another wonderful asset that people find very soothing and comforting.
Yeah, and actually, as you're discussing your staff and, you know, their ability to care and comfort, there's also a need here for volunteers.
Yes.
So if you want to tell our listeners a little bit about that as well.
So we in the main office, we actually have a volunteer director, Dina, who's wonderful. But we have many people who help in the main office, either making coffee, bringing coffee up, getting the lemonade. We have ladies known as cookie ladies who come by with cookies and sweets periodically. They'll get dressed up for Halloween. So they do all the little things that make sort of a house a home. Or the office, they do things just to make it more comfortable, more soothing, and then often with treats. We have some volunteers who will bring animals in. We have about 7 or 8 dogs. and they just walk around, and that's kind of a nice heartwarming things for people as well. But a lot of little things that they will do for us, which it just helps to get little things done that are little things that sometimes make a tough day just a little bit better, and sometimes that's enough to get you through that day.
Yeah, you bet. So anyone out there who if you have some extra time on your hands and looking for a good way to help out and, kind of spread the wealth, if you will, reach out to Illinois Cancer Care here in Galesburg. And I believe Carol Dawkins, or you mentioned Dina, would be more than happy to get you into the right hands and get that going for you. So, Dr. Francois, I appreciate your time today and informing us of the Illinois Cancer Care and then just some other options and treatments and things like that. So I appreciate you taking your time this morning to share that with us.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm glad you could stop on by.
All right. Well, once again, folks, this is Lauren Fulmer with 1330 WREM and 1590 WAIK.